AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Yesterday was Palm Sunday and many pastors were preaching on the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. It's recorded in all four Gospels. I preached on Palm Sunday yesterday from Matthew chapter 21. I called it Presenting the King of Israel. And as you know, Palm Sunday, Jesus rides in on a donkey. And it says, most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, which means save, Lord, we beseech thee, or save us now, to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. It's a messianic psalm that they were quoting from Psalm 118. And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? Such a great passage of scripture. We had a great day yesterday. I have been privileged to be on a text thread with Tim Wildman and Jenna Ellis. And Jenna sent us this yesterday from Donald Trump. And this is what he tweeted out yesterday. This Holy Week, Christians around the world remember the crucifixion of God's only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And on Easter Sunday, we celebrate his glorious resurrection and proclaim, as Christians have done for nearly 2,000 years, he is risen. Through the pain and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we saw God's boundless love and devotion to all humanity. And in that moment of his resurrection, history was forever changed with the promise of everlasting life. As we approach this joyous Easter Sunday, I want to wish Christians everywhere a happy and very blessed holiday. America is a nation of believers. We need God. We want God. And with his help, we will make our nation stronger, safer, greater, more prosperous, and more united than ever before. Thank you and happy Easter. And when Jenna sent me that, I said, wow, that is a bold statement from the President of the United States, the 47th President. And so I asked Jenna if she would come on today and just discuss that a little bit. And so, Jenna, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for having me and happy Holy Week. This is just a wonderful message from President Trump.
Yeah, were you surprised that he was so bold in his statement concerning Jesus?
A little bit. I mean, historically, obviously, he's recognized Easter. He has acknowledged God. But this is the most substantive articulation of the gospel that I think he has ever posted or talked about. And I find it very fascinating how his view on acknowledging the Lord has really shifted, I think, since the Butler, Pennsylvania incident, and recognizing that he was just not even a millimeter away from stepping into eternity. And that has to have a profound effect on a person. And I think that he is right to say and acknowledge that the Lord spared his life. And in part, that has now translated to him being much more open and much more serious about acknowledging the truth of the Lord, which is a very good thing for anyone, but especially for a president of the United States to acknowledge this on Holy Week and to specifically say as well that we are a Christian nation. That is very important. And I think that view, if it truly is informing his policies to the extent that I hope and pray that it is a very good thing for our nation.
Well, you know, presidents have always kind of given a hat tip to Christmas or Easter or something like that. This is way more than a hat tip. I mean, this is, he's sharing the gospel in here. And I, Jenna, you know him, and you know people that know him, and I don't. But to me, it's like I've never heard Trump verbalize the gospel very well. So it's hard for me to think that he has received Christ. But this gives me hope.
Yeah, and you know, I do think that he has a faith. Knowing him personally, he would speak more, you know, off camera and in closed doors about his faith. Not all that often, but sometimes, and even you know, with me sometimes, and I would bring that up in conversation as a Christian. And so I do think that there is at least some fruit in his life for that. But yeah, this is the best statement of the truth of the gospel that we have seen from a sitting president, certainly more than, you know, anything that Joe Biden expressed on Easter. But even more than that, I had Steve Dace on my show just in the last hour, and he made a really good point that this is a more accurate and full proclamation of the gospel than we'll even hear in some churches in America okay. this Sunday, which is really sad, quite frankly.
It's really true, though. You know, one of the things that I think people love about Donald Trump, I mean, obviously a polarizing figure, but Trump says what he thinks. Sometimes he needs to have a little bit better filter, but he doesn't filter it. He doesn't try and say things that are politically correct. He doesn't try and tone things down to where maybe they're a little more palatable for the listeners. And I think people find that refreshing. Now, I've been frustrated with pastors over the years that try and tiptoe around, don't like to call out sin, just want to make people feel good. You know, the Joel Osteen approach to preaching. And I just feel like we need people to just be kind of blunt, all this nuanced preaching. I get it to a point, but when the house is on fire, you need somebody to be blunt and tell you, get out, because this thing's about to collapse on your head. What would you say to that?
Well, Trump is known for being blunt, right? And but we're used to that in sort of the mean tweet kind of category, where I think we as Christians, as Americans who want to see our nation prosper, need to encourage this kind of boldness and bluntness that, you know, this is the perfect non-mean tweet, right? Where right. he's posting for the truth of the gospel, and we need to wholeheartedly encourage that.
Okay, so Jenna, I know you were probably following the Bill Maher situation, where he went to the White House and
yes.
what happened with Donald Trump. Were you surprised at all by what he had to say following that meeting?
What Bill Maher said?
Yes.
You know, not really. So, I mean, I had the opportunity a couple times when I worked for Trump to go on with Bill Maher. I actually think that he's one that is trying to be reasonable and is willing to call out the left when it's just utter preposterous hypocrisy. And so I think that he, like a lot of people who have this view of Trump that's shaped by the media, was frankly surprised to just see that, you know, he's a very kind, humorous, engaging person in person. And I mean, and I have always said that. I mean, you know, listeners know that obviously, you know, I supported DeSantis in the primary. That's long, you know, old news, all that. But I've never said that, you know, Trump isn't one of the funniest, most engaging people in person. And he makes people feel welcome. I mean, even, you know, for Bill Maher to bring that list of the Trump insults, and then Trump just signs it. I mean, that is such a classic Trump move, where he just owns it, and it's great, and it makes for this kind of lighthearted moment. And I think it was a really good opportunity, and Trump was wise to take the meeting, because now it'll be more difficult for Bill Maher to have a media perception instead of his own personal interaction.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when he said that there's not a crazy man in the White House. There's a real person who plays a crazy man. But, I mean, Bill Maher thinks you're crazy if you believe in God. So, you know, some of that can be, you take it with a grain of salt. I did think it was really good that they met. And I'm going to play a clip later from Bill Maher. But you know, he's probably not getting any accolades from the left on going to the White House. So Jenna, I didn't know you had been on Bill Maher. what was that experience like?
You know, not bad, actually. I mean, out of all of the perhaps opposition media that I've been involved in, he was at least respectful. And this was during the whole 2020, you know, in COVID situation. So it was unfortunately remote. I always prefer to be on set when possible, because the conversation, you know, just in person, especially with a show like his, is just a lot better. Mm-hmm. But overall, you know, it was good. And actually Trump called me after and said that the First Lady Melania was watching it. And this is funny, where he said, "She thought you did a really great job, looked fabulous. It was great." You know, so it's like, it's always funny to go back and think, you know, how many times, you know, like my media schedule, he knew it and was, you know, was watching and everything. So at least I did a good job according to him. So I'll let that review speak for itself.
Yes. That's good. Okay, now you made mention that on this Donald Trump tweet for Holy Week, that he may not have written that, although he had somebody craft it for him. Do you think that's probably the case?
Probably so. I mean, with some of these that are a little more grammatically correct and, you know, are a little more substantive, that don't just seem kind of off the cuff, you know, a lot of times he'll have, whether it's Dan Scavino or someone else, you know, draft them. But the point, regardless of who drafts it, the point is that he posted it. And I think that is the most important point for people to recognize when they're watching this, that a sitting president is actually proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Christ. That is huge. That is a moment in America that we should celebrate, that we should capitalize on, and we should take to our churches and say, you know, look, there needs to be an acknowledgement of this. And I hope that that the president and the administration will get the message from Christians across the country that we want more of this. We want to have a president that readily acknowledges that morality and virtue are the fulcrum of liberty, that we cannot have America, and certainly America can't be great again, without recognizing his sovereignty, his presence currently, and that the measurable difference between right and wrong, good and evil, has to be from the truth of the Word of God.
Jenna, why do you think, as Bill Maher was saying, that Trump is very different in person than he is publicly, you know, when you're just meeting with him privately? Why do you think there's such a difference there?
How long do we have on that one? There have been books written on Trump's psychology. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of, you know, everybody's a little bit different, probably, right? When you're on camera and you're going into more of a hostile environment, which he is with all of the reporters and, you know, as he talks about it, fake news, whatever, versus how he is just, you know, with his friends and casual. I mean, the same is true for Governor DeSantis. I mean, I've been around him in settings that are off camera, just with a few people privately. He's a very different person, right, than the politician, the guy behind the podium, just, you know, slamming the fake news media. So I think everybody's like that to a certain extent, you know, but for Trump, it is all about the media, and he is a master of the media. And I think for him, it's that he wants to shape his public perception very carefully. And it may not seem like that with some of the stuff that he tweets, but I think it is very intentional. And he's done that in a way that, you know, look, he has a massive, very loyal following that doesn't even question, you know, some of the things he does, which I think we should never go that far in supporting, right, a politician or even a pastor. I mean, always make sure that they're doing the right thing. But he's gotten so much loyalty because of who he is in his public persona. So, you know, probably in his mind, he's doing the right thing.
Well, I even heard Melania say that about him. She said, "Donald, I don't, you know," she didn't know him as a public, you know, politician. And she just knew the private guy who's evidently very fun and engaging and caring. And he sometimes doesn't come across like that. You know, I heard the same thing. And I know you were at the premiere of the John MacArthur movie. I'm going blank on the
name of it.
The
Essential Church. Yeah, and yeah, I was actually in it as well.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Now, they say that about John MacArthur, that people that meet him say, you're a lot kinder and gentler in person than you are in the pulpit.
Very true. And, I don't have that perception of him in the pulpit. I think that he speaks truth boldly. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten that sense that he's kind of, you know, just this fire and brimstone wrath kind of person. But absolutely, in person, he is one of the dearest pastors to me. I just love and respect John MacArthur so much.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you, Jenna, so much for coming on, and I appreciate your commitment to the truth and your boldness, and so I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and I love and respect you too, having seen you both on radio and then also in person when we get to hang out at conferences in Tupelo and all of that, so thank you.
All right. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are up against a break, but we'll be right back after. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'm grateful for Jenna Ellis and all that she does at American Family Radio, and just her strong voice of sensibility and conservatism, and she takes a lot of shots. And especially on social media, people are very, very rude and mean. You know, the internet, and especially social media and X, can become just a vicious place. But she stands up to it, and she speaks the truth in love, and I appreciate that so much about her. Well, you probably heard that the Pennsylvania police arrested a suspect after he set the governor's mansion on fire, Governor Josh Shapiro, while he and his family slept. It was 2 a.m. on Sunday that this guy did this, 38-year-old man. I'll not mention his name, but he did this, and, you know, shocking that he could get in there to do that, but just horrific. And thankfully, Josh Shapiro was not hurt. His family was not hurt. But everybody needs to condemn that. And just like with the burning of the Teslas, you know, I don't know where this guy is coming from that went after Josh Shapiro. But anything like that, any damage to property, any endangering people's lives, violence, and everybody ought to condemn that. Republican, Democrat, Independent, you ought to say that is wrong, and we are against that completely. You know, we have the right to peacefully protest. We don't have the right to destroy people's property and bully people and intimidate people and hurt them physically. That's just wrong. And so, you know, when we see all this stuff happening with Teslas and all the keying of Teslas and the damaging of the property and lighting them on fire, and everyone ought to condemn that. And I agree that they need to throw the book at those people and shut that stuff down. So anyway, thankfully, Josh Shapiro and his family were not hurt. Also in the news, you probably heard about Josh Sullivan, the pastor and missionary leading a prayer meeting at Fellowship Baptist Church in Motherwell in South Africa. Multiple masked men came into the church and they abducted him. And while his wife and children were looking on, and so I think they've asked for a ransom. I'm not sure, but the wife tweeted out, "Please keep praying." And that country in South Africa is marked by extreme violence and political instability. And so we do need to pray for Josh Sullivan and pray for his wife and children. You know, one of the things I said yesterday in my message on the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, when Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." I woke up on Saturday morning. I'd been studying Matthew 21, had it in my mind and heart. I woke up on Saturday morning with that verse ringing in my mind and in my heart. Matthew 21:3, "The Lord has need of them. If anyone says anything to you about taking the donkey and the colt, the Lord has need of them, and they will let them go." And I thought about, well, what in my life does the Lord may have need of, or may the Lord have need of? What would he say, "Jeff, I have need of this"? You know, everything I have, I don't own anything, and none of us own anything. Everything belongs to the Lord. We're just stewards, we're managers of the Lord's possessions. And the Lord says in Ezekiel chapter 18, "All souls are mine." and the soul who sins shall die. Your children don't belong to you. They belong to God. And your spouse doesn't belong to you. Your spouse belongs to God. Your parents, your siblings, your best friend. All souls belong to God. And, you know, it's very, very difficult when tragedy strikes. And tragedy typically strikes without warning, without, approval. You don't get to say, okay, well, yeah, Lord, let this in. It just comes, and it can come in just boom, just like that. And life can really change on a dime. It can change on a phone call. It can change on one turn of the wheel in the car. And then everything is different from that point on, whether you lose a loved one or whether you get the diagnosis that you have cancer or you have Alzheimer's or whatever it might be. Boom, everything changes from that point. This situation with Josh Sullivan for his wife and children, it's a big unknown, and we pray that God would bring about a great deliverance for him and that he would be returned to his family, to his church unharmed. But we don't know. And so, you know, Acts chapter 12, James gets arrested and beheaded by Herod. And then he arrests Peter, and he's going to put Peter to death. But the Lord sends an angel and delivers Peter, and Peter is not killed. James was killed. Peter wasn't killed. We don't know why James had a short life. He was the first of the disciples, save Judas, who was the betrayer, to lose his life for his faith in Christ. And John lived out his life and died as an old man, nearing 100 years of age. And we don't know why God does what he does. So here's how we need to approach things in our lives. Everything that you quote-unquote have, which is really just you're the manager of, you're the steward of, hold it loosely, because the Lord may have need of it for reasons that he doesn't tell you, for reasons that are his own, and he is God, and he spoke the worlds into existence. He knows far, far, far more than you and I could ever know. I think even in heaven, we're not going to know everything about God. I think God is just so infinite. I just think every single day we're going to just experience new truths, new wonders about the Lord. But God is an infinite God. And I've said before, you know, we get mad at God when things happen that we don't like. And we come before the Pacific Ocean, so to speak, the mind of God, like the Pacific Ocean, so vast and so deep and so broad. Your eyes can't take it in. And we come with our little teacup. And we say, Lord, you know, I demand answers. Show me why you did this or why you did that. I demand to understand. And God says, well, how could you possibly understand? You don't have the capacity to understand why I do what I do. You have a teacup mind. My mind is the Pacific Ocean. So why don't you just trust me? And if I say to you, I had need of your child, I had need of your spouse, I had need of your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friend, I have a plan that you're not privy to, just as Job, he wasn't privy to what was going on above him in the cosmic battle that was going on, where he was the center point of the battle. And I love what Job said when he got the news that he lost all his wealth and he lost all his servants, and it just came in rapid succession. Four straight servants came and reported to him, you know, I alone have escaped to tell you this, Job. And the last one said, all your children have died. There was a great wind that blew over the house. They were all together in a house celebrating probably a birthday or something like that. And the wind came and blew over the wall and crushed them all, and they're all dead. And said when Job heard this, he arose, he tore his robe, picture of mourning and grief. He shaved his head and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I made the point Palm Sunday, a lot of people praising, and the Pharisees didn't like it. The religious leaders said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Do you hear what they're saying? They're attributing to you the mantle of being the Messiah. They're saying that you are the Son of David. You are the Messiah. And Jesus said, if these are quiet, the rocks will cry out. And so they were praising him, but that praise was superficial for most of them. And I fear that with us, our praise can be very superficial too. We praise God when he does things that we like. But, you know, we praise him when we get promoted. We praise him when our ship comes in, so to speak. We praise him in the sunshine. But how about praising him in the rain? How about being able to say with Job, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Bill Maher did meet with President Trump, shifting gears here, and he shared that on his program, Real Time, on HBO. And he had about a 12-minute monologue where he talked about that. And he said, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything that wasn't true. And so this is what happened. He said, that doesn't mean that, you know, everything is healed in the country, and that Trump and I are big buddies now, and that, you know, I left, you know, wearing a MAGA hat. He said it wasn't anything like that. But he shared that Trump was very very affable, and he had a fun time, and he listened, and he shared wonderful things about Donald Trump. And, you know, Kid Rock was saying, hey, anybody that meets Trump, you're going to like the guy. He's very, very likable. And the things that you see in public versus private, you may not like the public Trump, but the private Trump, very, very winsome. Well, he got pushback. And so he had on his column that night, he had Josh Rogan, who's a columnist for The Washington Post and CNN political analyst, and Piers Morgan. And this was the pushback that Bill Maher got from Josh Rogan.
I'm not questioning your motivation. I'm questioning Trump's, okay? And if we can say that you went there in good faith, but maybe, just maybe, he wasn't there in good faith. I mean, you sold him on the Iran deal and he took it in. I mean, give me a break, okay? So the idea here is that your motivation is sound, but what's the impact? And I think a lot of people out there, fans of yours, people who love you, people who are fans of you, like me, I've been fans of you.
You don't have to patronize me, dude. Okay. I don't know you. I never met you.
I'm just saying that this comes from a place of
love. Not everybody has to like it.
All I'm
saying is, that's what we said. There are people who didn't want it to happen at all. You sound like one of them. It's
no,
okay.
No.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Like, what is the alternative to not talking? Just sit at your lunch table and don't talk to anybody?
I talked to him. I've interviewed Trump. Here's an interview.
This was not an interview.
I agree with the principle of engagement. I'm just saying, from his perspective, you have to understand that people out there know, all Americans know, that for him this was a PR stunt, and in his view, you were a prop in that PR stunt. Okay.
Well, yeah, but you see, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Mean it wasn't the right thing to do. It just lower.
But if you go on social media for five minutes now, you just have these fury raging all day long. Everyone's got to be implacably there, implacably here. And actually, Americans and most Brits, they're not like that. So this is screaming going on between these tribes, and actually walking across, you know, across that line, sitting down, having dinner, having a laugh, having a chat. And then the idea that Bill Maher is now going to stop criticizing Donald Trump.
I didn't do
it with him. It's preposterous.
I didn't do it before. I didn't do it in the monologue. I didn't do it with Steve Bannon. Yeah. And the fact that you began your little rant with the internet, that tells me everything. Yeah. You take your cues from the internet. Good luck.
No. You
know, the internet is a cesspool that just wants to fight. And that's okay.
I support what you're trying to do. I'm just saying the expectation that Donald Trump is going to be changed by such.
I said in the piece I did not think that was going to happen.
In that case, then go with
I love the people on either side who ignore the parts they don't like and then just. And I just did it. It wasn't like it was 3 weeks ago.
So that was him dealing with the pushback that he got from Joe Rogan. I did watch that, and Joe Rogan looked like he had egg on his face, and it's like, uh-oh, I said the wrong thing, because Marr wasn't too pleased with his comments. So we need to be praying for healing in our country. As Bill Maher said, you know, if the left sits on their lunch table and the right sits on their lunch table and there's no discussion of things, then the divide just keeps worsening. So Josh Rogan, I'm sorry, not Joe Rogan. I got Joe Rogan in there. Josh Rogan, columnist for The Washington Post and CNN political analyst. But we do need to talk. And just like the attack on Josh Shapiro's house, well, everybody needs to condemn that. The attack on Elon Musk and Tesla, everyone needs to condemn that. We need to just let people know this is unacceptable. You don't do this. If you want to peacefully protest, then peacefully protest. But do it with knowledge, and you know, don't just jump on the bandwagon. And if you're going to hire people to protest, as the charge has been leveled against these protesters around the country, I mean, that's just so despicable. And people ought to call that out, too. And we ought to do what we need to do to figure out, are these people really paid protesters? Because if you're paid to protest, your position is so weak that people won't grab a sign unless you pay them. How pitiful is that? Well, I want to just get this in before we go to the break, and then we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. And that is a shout out to Rory McIlroy for winning the Grand Slam in golf, four major golf tournaments. Won the Masters yesterday in dramatic fashion. He seemed to have the thing won. He was up by three or four strokes, and then disaster struck. He double bogeyed. And then it came down to the wire, and then he missed a putt on 18 that would have won the tournament outright. I told my wife, I said, that was a $2 million putt as I looked up the winnings for first place and second place. And then he ended up having in the playoff hole beat Justin Rose, and it was exciting. And for those that play golf, we know how hard it is. Golf is the hardest game I've ever played, but it's a wonderful game. And so hats off to Rory McIlroy for winning the Masters and winning the Grand Slam. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. When we come back from the break, we'll take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment on something that was said, or maybe something that you want to talk about, please give me a call. I was given yesterday at church, one of my members gave me a book called The Covenant of God's Love, and it was from the Lockman Foundation. The Lockman Foundation owned the rights to the New American Standard Bible. I use the New American Standard Bible, and this was a book that's been out for a while now, and it's the Bible. It's the Covenant of God's Love. It's the Bible, but it's written to witness and evangelize. And so it's got a page at the beginning, and then it goes through the New Testament, and then it gives the plan of salvation. Well, he sent this to me, and he said, I've been given these out. What do you think? And maybe you could give me a business card, and so when I give those out, we can connect people to the church. Well, this is what it says on the first page, and I was really concerned about it and just like, wow, this is a terrible way to go about things. It says this, as soon as you open it up, you open the cover, it says, while everyone believes God is, most sense separation from God. We know God must be holy and good. We see ourselves as unholy and not good. We conclude that God is angry with us and we cannot know him. Good news. This testament of God's love is his word to tell us that he loves us as we are. And so my friend was saying, well, what about that? I said, well, I just think that's a bad way to present the gospel. Does God love us? Yes, that's true. Does he? If you tell people, well, God loves you just the way you are, then you kind of miss out on the fact that repent and believe the gospel, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And I like the way Ray Comfort, the Way of the Master, does it in showing people that they're sinners, as the famous sermon said my mind's gone blank today, but sinners in the hand of an angry God. Jay, help me out with the author of that. Sinners in the hand of the angry of an angry God, and it showed people how they desperately needed to get right with God. Does God love us? Yes. Does God love sin? Yeah. Sinners? Yes. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That's why he sent the Son into the world. Jonathan Edwards was the one who had sinners in the hand of an angry God. And so we need to approach people, I think, in this day and in this age, that we say, hey, God does love us, but we need to realize where we are. We are the wrath of God abides on the person who doesn't believe, John chapter 3 says. And we're not in a good place. We are sinners in the hand of a God who is holy, holy, holy. And the gospel is good news. That's what Evangelion, that's what that is, the good news of Jesus. But it's good news to those who understand the bad news. And until you understand the bad news, that you are in serious trouble, that you are one heartbeat without Christ, you are one heartbeat from an eternal hell. That's why the gospel is such good news. And until our friends and neighbors and loved ones and teammates and classmates and workmates, until they realize that, they're not motivated at all to receive Christ. They kind of, you know, the Doobie Brothers, they tip their hat to Jesus and say, well, Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and guess what? You need saving. I quote the words of this hymn often. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. That's our condition. Dead in trespasses and sins, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. So this book, The Covenant of God's Love, it's the New Testament, which is great, but the introduction to the beginning of the New Testament that they wrote is not good, because just like the four spiritual laws, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, true. But then the second law, but man is a sinner and separated from God's love. That needs to be emphasized. So end of sermon there. We are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Ooh, praise the Lord, brother. Preach it. My goodness, I'm fired up now. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53:6, you know, the first two words that say, some of us, it says, all we have gone astray. Like sheep, yes, sir. Praise the Lord. But you had touched early and always doing a great job on the program. I enjoy it. I'm a regular listener.
Thank you.
You know, you were talking earlier about the people say, well, they want to do this. And when Father do whatever he wants to. You know, Isaiah 55:8-9, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and thoughts. And then you go over to Psalms 2, where he laughs when he has them in derision. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of that out there, brother. Brother, that, you know, he'll do whatever he wants to do. He's our Lord and Savior, and we just praise him. We love you guys, and just wanted to touch base. It's been a minute. The lady told me when I was waiting, you're a regular caller there, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. But God bless you, Brother Jeff, and just keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it so much and appreciate you listening and being a faithful listener. Yeah, so Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so, yeah, we're not going to, if you can figure out everything that God is doing, then God wouldn't be much of a God, because your brain power can figure him out. But if you understand that God's knowledge and wisdom and understanding are unsearchable, they are the Pacific Ocean, greater than the Pacific Ocean, and you have this little teacup, well, you know, praise the Lord that God knows what he's doing. I don't have to know everything. I just have to trust him. That's why one of the key verses in the Old Testament, and really in the whole Bible, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And then verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So it's not bad to have understanding, just don't lean on your own understanding. And it's not wrong to ask God for understanding. That's a good thing to pray. And if you're going through a difficult time, and you can ask God why. You know, Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, he quoted from Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's okay to ask why. It's not okay to demand why. And lots of times, the Lord doesn't tell us why. He just responds to our whys with this: my child, just trust me. I know what I'm doing, so just trust me. And then we need to say, all right, Lord. Yes, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand. I don't like it, but I trust you. As I've shared before, my friend Charles Lowry, he says, you know, when you can't rejoice in the circumstances, you rejoice in the Lord who never changes, the Lord who is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Great word from Philippians chapter 4. Well, we have David on the line from Virginia. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for your time. This morning you were talking with Jenna Ellis, and when I came in, when I was actually able to, you know, hear you guys, you were talking about Donald Trump and sharing the gospel. That is super encouraging to hear, and I was wondering, was it a soundbite that I missed, or is it on X, or where can I find this?
Yeah, he tweeted this out at Real Donald Trump on X. And that was where he talked about Holy Week and about the salvation that is in Christ. And through the pain and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we saw God's boundless love and devotion to all humanity. And in that moment of his resurrection, history was forever changed with the promise of everlasting life. You know, as Jenna said, sadly, that's probably more gospel than a lot of people are going to get when they go to church on Easter Sunday. And so I appreciate the bluntness of Donald Trump. I realize that lots of people don't like him for his bluntness, but I tend to be a blunt person, and so I appreciate the fact that he doesn't beat around the bush. And I do think that the house is on fire. I think that we're living in the last of the last days, and, you know, it was D.L. Moody that preached to his congregation and left them in suspense, kind of did a cliffhanger, didn't share the gospel, told them, brought them right up to the point of trusting Christ and said, come back next week and I'll show you how to remedy this problem of sin. Well, there was the great Chicago fire and they never came back next week. And so much of the city was burned. And Moody said, I'm never going to do that again. And we want to share with people, not in a process that say, well, I have the 5-year plan to share the gospel with this guy. You know, some people take a long time and we need to pray and pray and pray. But We need to let people know, because it might be the last time we see them, this is how you're made right with God. And so, yeah, I appreciate Donald Trump for doing that. So, yeah, David, if you go on to the X platform and look at Real Donald Trump, that's his handle. You can read that.
Thank you very much.
All right, my friend. Thanks for calling. And so, one of the things that is important to remember too. And I ran into this problem as a college, young Christian in college. Hearing sermons is different than talking to somebody one-on-one. When I preach a sermon on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever it might be, I'm not talking to any one individual. I'm talking to a crowd. And so it's kind of, I'm preaching if the shoe fits, wear it. And so it's like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to you all, to use a good Southern term. But when I sit down with someone in my office, I'm talking to them directly. And so it's, we speak the truth in love. And so truth and love always are there. But preaching is truth in love. And a sit down, a one-on-one, is love in truth. And the emphasis is being very, very gracious with this person. This person may have a life that's just melting down because of really selfish, sinful choices. And you're not there to just bash them. You're there to give them hope and to give them comfort in Jesus. Romans 15:13 is one of my favorite verses. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's the emphasis? Well, God is the God of hope. And if you will believe and trust in the God of hope, he'll fill you with all joy and peace. You'll abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I hope that comes out in my preaching. But here's the thing. In today's world, we need for people to understand that God does love them, but that they are in trouble because they are one heartbeat from a Christless hell. And if you just say, well, God loves me just the way I am, as that that front page of that the Covenant of Love book says, then there's no kind of fire alarm. There's nothing that would say, wait a minute, I need to do something. You know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, they asked two questions. They heard them speaking in languages they hadn't learned. And they said, what does this mean? And then he preached, and they were convicted. And they said, brethren, what must we do? What shall we do? What needs to be done here? We are cut to the quick. We are convicted of our sins. And that's when he said, what do you need to do? You need to repent. And you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And so what does this mean? That's how we live our lives. We're to live our lives as a sweet aroma of the knowledge of him, and that people would notice that we've been with Jesus. And they ask the question, what does this mean? How is this person so different? And as we shine and then we share, then they ask the question, hopefully, what must we do? Well, you must repent and believe. And if you will repent and believe, Jesus will save you just like he saved us. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. It's a joy and a privilege for me to get to share with you every weekday morning at 8:05 Central Time. And I look forward to having great programs this week as we get ready for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So go out today. Shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.